Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Hi, Empire Builders. I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Tiffany Fikes.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tiffany. It's always fun to do this with you.
It is going to be a great week.
It is going to be a good week. We are deep into business planning season. Maybe you're done if you're like an early starter. I know some people start in like September, or maybe you're just getting started if you live for procrastination and like to do it as close to the end of the year as possible. But this is our time to revisit wins, think about places that we fell short, which is not always one of my favorite things to do. But today we are going to do that. We're going to embrace the gap and find the power in the moments that we might have labeled as failure, either from the prior year or just generally as we're thinking about that in our business and lives.
Yeah, I know failure is often something that a lot of people try to avoid. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know I enjoy talking about things that other people try to avoid. So you can always count on me for a good money conversation. I can engage in politics if I really trust you. And failure, though, may be the hardest hard conversation for me to talk about. But it's all about perspective. And as a recovering perfectionist, I have been working on reframing failure for probably a decade. So failure isn't the opposite of success. You know, it's actually the pathway to it if you can think about it correctly. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to unpack how we can stop letting the fear of failure hold you back and how to turn both failure and risk into the fuel to get what you want next year in all this business planning.
I love it. And I love what you said, Tiffany, because I think, you know, equally as a recovering perfectionist, which I know a lot of our empire builders, like once you actually sort of define perfectionism and you're like, oh, that's me, right? That this idea of failure is one of the biggest ones that we have to overcome. And as we were even thinking about this episode, that's it. Like, it's not something we talk about, something I want to avoid at all cost. And so I'm often evaluating risk in that way. And it is that perfectionism that is at the underlying kind of root is what's creating that challenge.
And one of the things that I always say about parenting like is a reflection of who you are. Like you see yourself in your kids, the good, the bad. And our youngest son is not yet a recovering perfectionist. He still lives very, very much in the perfectionism. But helping him deal with failure has actually helped me a ton. You know, like he'll get a grade and it's like a 94 and lose his mind on why he missed those points. And so like I have to really ingest this in order to help him work through the failure. And so I love parenting for that reason. I mean, there's lots of reasons I love parenting, but it makes me better too, because if I've got to teach it, I've got to believe it.
Well, where I thought you were going with that was I realized almost daily the failures because now I have three teenagers.
So they're telling you your failures.
Today, this morning, I was like, look, I've never done this before either. I've never had a 16-year-old before either. Like, we're going to fail forward together. Like, I'm going to get it wrong and you're clearly going to get it wrong. And so I realized it's the place that I'm like, yep, failed again. Like, missed that again. Like, I'm trying not to overall fail them. But the reality is they reflect that back for me often when something is not to their standard. So
that's the teenagers for sure.
Yes, there's the teenagers. Tiffany and I combined to have five teenage boys. So it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot.
Awesome. Well, one of the biggest roadblocks we know for a lot of our empire builders and us, right, is that it's one of the biggest roadblocks, like that fear of failure. So how does it show up? How do you know if you might be letting fear hold you back? What if I launch this new idea, create this new initiative, start this new business, and either nobody shows up for my event, if you're right, building a sales business, a lot of us are, like, what if I do this new thing and it doesn't work out? We hear this a lot when we talk about leverage. Well, I'm not going to make that hire because what if it doesn't work out? Often because we failed at a hire before. And so we just are like, you know what? I shouldn't have a team because clearly it failed. And so I'm just not going to do it again, right? And so I'm not going to go for that next big hire because what if it doesn't work out? And then I'm back to square one. And I think this is one of the biggest ones, and we're going to talk about this more a little later, is what if I invest money and I lose it, right? So I'm just going to save it all, put it in my like savings account under my bed, but I'm not going to risk it. So I'm just going to hold on to it because I definitely don't want to take the risk and risk not having it. So we all get stuck in these questions. If any of those are questions that you have had play out in your head, I know I have. And that sometimes leaves us playing small. So we delay the critical decisions we need to make. And we tell ourselves that we're actually staying safe when we're not.
It actually costs you. Like you think you're trying to save something, but in the end, it costs you. And it's not just missed opportunities. It's missed potential. It's missed getting your mission, living out the vision of your life. Like it's a lot because that when you let fear control you, the version of you that never shows up is what you're truly sacrificing for being afraid. And fear is so natural. Like it's literally one of the most basic human emotions. Yeah, it's an emotion. And pretending like you're not afraid is just as bad as letting fear rule.
Well, Tiffany, you led us in a podcast episode, I don't know, like a year ago on the brain, right? And this idea of like fear is actually like your brain is wired for fear so that you stay safe, right? Like our early brains, you were like, if you got out of the cave, you were going to get eaten by a bear. Like the fear was actually designed to stop you, to slow you down, to keep you alive. And so I remember when you shared that, I was like, oh, wow. Like that is sort of this frame of like not seeing fear as this thing that is holding us back. It was actually, that was the development of the human being, right? To be able to have fear as a way to keep you safe. And when you get past that a lot of times if we just breathe through it or like, right, rationalize it, we can get to the other side of and not allow it to hold us back.
Which I love. Now, when we talk about fear and failure of risk, especially for women, Kimber found some really interesting statistics that I think are really important for us to look at and understand, because I know when she shared these with me, I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. So welcome to the numbers portion of our podcast today, and you're going to be blown away by what women can do.
I loved this because I like the data, right? So like, where does this actually show up? Because you've kind of got this feeling, and as Tiffany reminded me earlier, like the curiosity sometimes leads you in a direction. So we often think about, like there's a stereotype that women are more risk adverse, right? Like we're less likely to jump in and to take the risk. And the reality, which I thought was a powerful reframe, is that women are actually more risk aware. Right? They tend to use discipline in the risk taking. For example, right, in our US retirement plans, women hold stock exposure, right, at nearly the same level of men, 75-77. So very similar in terms of like stock exposure, but they lean on more diversified rules-based funds and they trade less frequently. And so that steady hand has been linked to better average performance. Like that logic is actually linked to better performance over the strategy that more often men use. So just sort of looking at that, it's not more risk averse, but it's more risk aware in terms of how women think about, at least on the financial side, from a retirement and investing side.
I thought it was interesting on the business side of things, the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor shows that as women's skills and confidence rise, fear of failure drops. So it's not just that they're being afraid or acting out of fear, it's actually access and capability. So it makes perfect sense to me that if you have more information, if you're given more opportunities to try things, you're going to gain your confidence. And then you're going to believe that even if this goes badly, I can handle it. And that's where that fear of failure can drop for you.
And this one, I think, was one of, I think, my favorite, right? Because we hear this, I've heard this stat a lot when we think about venture capital, right? Where money is investing in women-owned businesses. And so all-female founding teams, so an all-female founding team of a business, of a company, this is the one that really, like, sometimes makes my skin crawl, they receive roughly 2%, right? For an all-female founded business that's receiving outside capital to help them grow and scale, receive 2%. Of all VC dollars, all venture capital dollars. So like a teeny itty bitty slice of the entire 100% of VC goes out, like almost nothing.
That doesn't even show up in the pie.
No.
Like that's not even going to show up.
Doesn't even show up. And this is where it gets fun, right? And I'd never heard this stat before. So female led companies deliver nearly a quarter, about 24% of all US venture exits in recent years. And so think about a venture exit. Lots of money that goes in from a VC standpoint, those businesses just, they don't succeed, right? Like they lost the money. But yet 24% of those that exit, meaning they exited. They got a massive return on their investment. They successfully exited, invested, and grew the company at 24%. So it's not about performance. It's about capital allocation and the amplification of women-owned businesses to get them the skills, resources, and ultimately capital. But it's showing that that return on investment is massive on female-led businesses.
Well, and you know, when I hear that, and I'm like you, that's just crazy, but it's also like exciting and empowering and all that stuff. And it also goes to why we created Her Best Life, because all of these things are solved by more women doing more great things in the world. Like a quarter of exits are produced by 2% of the entrants. Like, that's crazy. It's so exciting.
It is super exciting.
That just gets me all yes. jazzed up. But anyway, failure. Back to failure. So here's the headline. Women aren't avoiding risk. They're right-sizing it. So what that means is with the right information, capital, skills, they don't just keep up with men. They outperform them. Ah, that just gets me so excited.
I know. When I saw that, I was like, whoa. Which I think is, I mean, we're in it and we see it. When I think about our Empire Circle members, like, I mean, at Her Best Life, like creating powerful businesses, right? Powerful businesses, but often, right, taking very like slow, steady steps to build it. And so here it is, like they're not just avoiding risk, they're right-sizing, like they're using the information, they're using the power. And that's why it's so critical that we have these conversations, because we're ultimately reframing how we think about both failure and risk. So when we flip the script, right, failure isn't final. Failure is the feedback. It's giving us the information, the data points, the clarity. And I think we say this a lot in the real estate space, right? Hey, that you got 6 weeks of real estate school and you get a license, but that first year is often like the price you pay, right? It's the tuition and you're actually going to school now. And if you think about that, the same thing around failure. Failure is the tuition for the lessons that you need to learn. And I don't know, for me currently in this season, I think I'm earning a PhD because I feel like I'm learning a lot of failure lessons, but it was a different way to think about it, right? That you're actually learning. And you hear people sometimes say like, I didn't fail if I learned, or like fail forward. If you failed, but you learned something, then you're actually starting not back at the beginning, you're starting at a higher level. So that is the tuition. It's a price you're paying to be able to move to the next level.
Yeah. And what I remember throughout my life, and when I watch other people and you hear the stories of the overnight success after 20 years, like what happened was often your biggest wins come after the door's been slammed in your face. You know, you think of stories of people who were pitching their books and then they got no after no after no, and then they self-published and they came out way better in the end. And so looking for, or letting it be the fuel, and this is where it's hard for the perfectionists, but like believing that you just have to keep going if you learn from those opportunities or that feedback you get from failure.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
I love that. Yeah, it is. And you hear that, you see that a lot. And we often hear the story after. I think about the Sarah Blakely, of course, right? The Sphinx, it looks like it's amazing. She exited for $1 billion. She's, of course, this overnight success, but not really, right? Like she's like door knocking fax machines, like working out of her house, like doing everything she can, like really pushing to make it happen. And I think that the theme is always the same, right? That they did not let the no, they did not let the failure be the roadblock to keep continuing to go. Like you take it and it can really fuel the growth when you're taking in that data point.
Well, and sometimes failure finds you with almost no part. You had no part in it. You know, like life happens, you know, relationships end, health issues happen. And you can say, well, that can define you. The failure you have can define you. But the reality is that failure doesn't define you. That's not your identity. What you do next is truly what can define you.
Yes, that's it. And so we wanted to leave you both with great data for today to inspire you, but also like four tactical steps, because we always want to leave our empire builders with ways that you could actually like steps to help you translate this failure into your fuel and make sure that you're de-risking wisely as you grow.
Okay, so let's jump to that.
So step one, we're going to talk about normalizing it, right? So first of all, like this is it. This whole episode is about normalizing it. So if you're stretching and you're growing, so when you're doing your business plan or you're looking at your goals and you're growing, right? You're not going to just stay small. I'm somebody, historically, I'm a sandbagger. I like to like set a goal and hit a goal. And this group of powerful women in my circle, in my empire circle world, really helped me from a perfectionism side, move beyond that, right? So if you're stretching, you're gonna stumble. That is a requirement. When you're stretching yourself, you're gonna stumble. That's part of it. Like you're not doing the same thing that you already mastered. So reframe it. It's data. It's not drama. It's not failure. It's not like, maybe it is failure, but it's data for you. And so if you treat it like a test and not a statement of who you are and your identity, then you've created a rejection-proof world, right? And that allows you to kind of build those small muscles around it to continue to grow.
Well, one of the most transformative books for me was Rejection Proof. And it was this guy, it's not a data book, but it's a lived experience. And he set out for a challenge of, I think, to be rejected 100 times and to just be comfortable with it. Use the muscle, be told no, feel like a failure in whatever that thing was that you're going to try to do. And in the end, what happened is he got to do some crazy weird stuff because he just asked. And people said yes sometimes. And it helped me. It was the very first book that really helped me reframe failure and that idea of just start failing, asking for things. Like he would ask, can I fly in the cockpit? You know, like, no. He knocked on a door and said, can I play soccer in your backyard? Random person let him play soccer in the backyard with this amazing view, you know, like they were on the water somewhere. And he was shocked over and over again where he got the yeses and where he got the nos. And I know it's not exactly about failure, but for me, it just spoke so deeply to don't be afraid of looking stupid, which is failure. That's to me, the hardest part about failure is looking stupid, looking or feeling stupid. And so like, just start doing it. Small little risks. That's how you normalize it. That's how you get used to it.
Yes. I mean, I think about our Empire Circle trips, right? And this is, Tiffany, I think one of the gifts you brought in. We always do an experience. And whether that's like we did zip lining in Mexico. And you're going to have in that group people that are like, no, like a fear, right? I don't like heights. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. And women always ask us, well, do I have to do this? And we're like, well, you don't have to. But the point is actually that we're normalizing that it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to try something hard. It's okay. And especially if you're surrounded by a group of powerful people who support you and love you and care about you. So normalizing that it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to think that you're not. Like that actually is a normal thing. And get around people who will also help you do that.
Love it. Okay. So number one, normalize it. It's a muscle. Use it. Make it okay in your brain. Whatever you need to say every morning to yourself. Keep going. Number two, reflect quickly. Now, this is where your failure becomes fuel. Because if you wallow, you can wallow. But don't wallow too long and make sure that you're reflecting back on what happened, what worked, what didn't work, and what will I do differently next time. If you're working on a group project, you may need to do that with other people, but you do not need to feel shame about the failure. And to me, the best way to do that is to understand, okay, this was feedback, like we've already said, and here's our path forward. I know one of my biggest professional failures happened when I was making documentary films and I took on too many projects and literally crumbled under everything. And I've learned a ton about my capacity and my ability to say no from that experience. I don't want to have that feeling again. So what should I have said no to? How should I have hired other people to help me? Like, where are those moments in time where I could have exited before it got to this crushing failure on me? And that's done a lot with how I've grown this business. Like, I hired somebody when I was 2 months in, like the first paycheck. I'm like, all right, 20%, find somebody to help me because this is going to blow up and I'm going to be buried under it. So I need help. And so things like that, reflect back and figure out what you can take forward from that experience.
Absolutely. So first, we're going to normalize it. Then we're going to reflect on, right, what happened and what lessons we're going to learn and pull forward. And the third step is share the story. Don't keep the failure a secret, right? Talk about your misses with your team. If you're right, leading a team, if you're leading an empire, talk about it with your team, your family, your kids. Like, how powerful is it? I mean, my teams often like to know where I've failed and missed, and we'll point it out. But being able for them to see like the mistakes you made as a teenager, like the failures you had, the challenges you had, the things you went after and didn't get, really is powerful. And most importantly, like, right, do you have a circle of people that you can share those in a really safe space with? And we know this. I mean, Brené Brown taught us this many, many years ago and continues to teach it. Leaders who model vulnerability create psychological safety. And that actually encourages powerful risk-taking, right? Intelligent, thoughtful risk-taking. Creating a space where we actually break down like the barriers that and the chains that perfectionism holds us back from. And that's where sharing it, talking about it, owning it, has real power, that actually was a place that you didn't get the best outcome. And where can you do it better? That was one of the foundational things. And we think about what we were solving for in her best life and empire circle, and loneliness in the journey, loneliness and feeling like you're going at this alone, that it's hard. And the answer is like, it is hard. And how do you take the parts that are hard or the parts that really expose us? And it creates a circle of space for women to normalize and learn, not just from your own failures, but also learn from the failures of everybody else, like the lessons. I know one of the cool things is this intergenerational part of our circle, right? We have people who have been empty nesters for years. We have those that are brand new babies, and watching the lessons that happen as people have evolved and moved through the different just seasons of life is also really powerful.
Well, and being in that circle, I know I've benefited from hearing from other people's failure. And when we started Her Best Life, when we did big events, we started every event with we called it the vulnerability panel. We didn't call it that on the
main stage.
The main stage. But like, as we were creating it, it was when people are on stage, they're often telling you their successes once you've already been a success. But what if we opened it up to the middle messiness and put people on stage who are in the middle of it, who are willing to say, this is how I feel right now, and I'm going to keep going. And we would bring people back to tell the rest of the story, you know, but I changed how I behaved after hearing Carissa's story because I wanted to learn from her failure and not have to live it myself. And the power of that and the risk taking that I've done because I've heard of other people being willing to share their failures has been like, it's grown me so much in how I make choices in life.
I love that. And I think we can model that by even asking the questions, right? When you got your list of questions, when you're talking to somebody, if you're interviewing another business leader, if you're interviewing a candidate for a job, right? Asking them, what's one of the biggest failures that you've learned from? Like just opening up to allow people to hold space for those stories, to share them, and to really reflect on the lessons is just incredibly valuable.
Okay. So we're going to normalize it. Number one. Number two, we're going to reflect quickly. Number three, we're going to share the story. And then the last thing, number four, anchored to the vision. So failure only becomes fuel when it's tied to your bigger vision, your mission, your why. Because otherwise, failure can get attached to your identity. We've talked about that a lot. Like, it's not that you failed, it's that you are a failure. That's what you feel in your body. That's what your brain tells you, because we attach everything to our identity. But if you remember why you're doing it, why you're willing to have the door slammed in your face to go knock on another one after that, when your eyes are locked on the mission, the setbacks can become stepping stones. They don't have to be stop signs, but you have to have something pulling you through that rejection, that failure, and attaching why you're doing what you're doing to your mission is crucial to making failures into fuel.
Oh, I think that's so big. And I think also the place for us to spend time, if you're in your business planning process, to really connect to the why of what your goal means, right? What is that going to do for you? It's the question that always stops most of our empire builders in their tracks of like, okay, what is it that you want? And why do you want it? And I think being connected to that a lot of times unlocks the risk, because now you're saying like, you know what? Like, I know that I need to make a calculated risk to be able to take the next step to get to this big thing because it's going to do this. And just that why is so powerful. So as you're looking at your goals, really understanding and connecting the goal that you have for the why behind it, because that's also going to help push you when it looks like, hey, this actually, I might stumble on the path to get there.
Okay, so here's our challenge, Empire Builders. We want you to think about what's one risk you've been avoiding because you're afraid of failure. There is one. I can guarantee it. So think about it. What is one risk you've been avoiding because of the fear of failure?
Oof. Do you have one, Tiffany? Does one jump out for you?
I've thought lately a lot about the question also, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Like at every decision point when I feel stuck, that's the question I use to get out of being stuck is, what would I choose if I wasn't afraid? So like it's a phone call I've made to an old friend that I haven't talked to in years. That's literally the most recent thing where it's emotional, old baggage, stuff that I'd been like not dealing with. And so I chose to reach out and we weren't able to connect, but I feel so much better having done that. And, you know, I didn't fail. So that's a personal example of something that I've done lately because I was avoiding it because of the failure.
Yeah. I just shot for the fences on a business thing and like took a big risk and asked for something that I don't think they were expecting. And I don't know that I was expecting to ask for. But it was like, I was like, well, what if I wasn't being treated like a vendor and I was being treated like a partner? And what would that look like? And so we're in it right now. But there was real power in taking the risk and asking for something that I actually do think I've absolutely earned and that I think our male counterparts would have asked well before they'd earned it. But it like just putting it out there, it's like back to your book recommendation that you have for all of us, rejection proof. Like, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I would have asked for it. So I think that's a great way to think about it. So we challenge you guys, right? Take a step this week, launch it, test it. Like, right? You don't have to maybe ask 100 things to get you to no's, but just take one, right? Take one risk that you've been avoiding because maybe fear was holding you back and you're going to be one step closer to your next breakthrough. So let failure be your fuel. When you stop fearing failure, you start creating freedom. And that allows you to create a big business and an even bigger life. So go out there and have an incredible week.
See you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.